Thank you so much for being here this evening, and Lord willing, we'll be able to get through this lesson and be able to glean from God's Word some very important things. We have been examining the Scriptures, if you remember, on Sunday evenings, talking about all the different things that create good Christian character. We actually have gone through quite a few of those, and we began speaking about this with how we care and share for one another. How our lives mingle together as a family of God, and that's very important for this congregation, for any member of the body of Christ to be part of a family, to feel close to one another, physically and spiritually. And the words that we choose also, they are part of the fabric of the Christian character. The way in which we talk to other people, the way they perceive our talk, the kind of words that we choose, are they words of edification for the hearer? They must be according to godliness. And so we've studied that, having our hope fixed upon spiritual things. Not on the things of this world, on the promises of God, making that, a steadfast in our lives to keep the commandments of the Lord, and being spiritually well also means that we have to be able to hear the Word of God. We need to be able to listen, to read, to study, and hear, to have ears to hear, and so that we can continue to do the things that God has called us to do. We ignore when we hear God, we're ignoring the ramblings of men. We want to hear what the Spirit of God says through His most precious and holy Word that He gave us. It is that Word that Peter said in his second letter that gives us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And that's where we want to hear and to learn. Fifth, we talked about how well we read, how well we receive God's Word through the written Word. We understand it's very important to read the Word of God. We're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. And so as we continue down that road, and as a Christian, our character should be such that we need to read God's Word. It is that Word that Paul said, which we heard from the apostles, and it was written down for us, not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. That's from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and at verse 13. And so reading is very important. How we pray, we also studied that a few weeks back. How often do I pray? How do I pray? What kind of things do I pray for? Do I pray for the church? Do I pray for others, for family members? Do I pray for the sick? Do I pray for the world, for the salvation of souls? And when I pray, am I praying in faith? Am I remembering the words of Samuel, who said that he didn't want to sin against God by ceasing to pray for the other people? That's very important. That's 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. He didn't want to sin against God by ceasing to pray. And so that's an important characteristic of a very well and mature Christian life. Number seven, how we sing. Do we, Not the voice. We talked about it's not that do I have a good voice or a bad voice, but how do I sing? Do I sing with understanding? Do I sing from my heart, making melody in my heart? The words to rise up to God is the purpose to praise God and give God glory and honor. And also to exhort one another, to teach one another, to help one another, to lift up one another. Singing is a very important part of the congregation of God's people. Continually offering praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips. You see that? Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. And then we went on from there, the number 8, which I believe was last week, and how well do we give? Do we give grudgingly or not grudgingly? Do we give out of necessity, or do we give out of the goodness of our hearts? Do we give out of gladness? Do we give not out of compulsion, but is our giving a spiritual giving? Do we give because we want to honor God, continue the work upon the earth? And it's not just the physical giving. What about giving spiritually? Sharing the Word of God, giving the most precious thing that God ever gave us to people that we meet day to day. And so what kind of giving do we do? Are we doing that by purposing in our heart and doing it cheerfully? And so now in the final lesson, as we wrap up this series, we want to ask the question. We're going to look to the Scriptures, ask a question, very simple. How well do you love? How well do you love? You know, we save the best for last, so to speak. Love is without a doubt the whole major theme of the Bible. Throughout the entire Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, the very last chapter, the Bible teaches about God's love for His people. His desire for His people to be with Him for eternity. God's love is great. It is amazing how much God endured by the hand of man, and He still loved man. That's why the Apostle Paul, in concluding chapter 13 of 2 Corinthians, he was able to say, the greatest of these is love. And so let's begin by noting some things that are, they're certainly true about different kinds of love. You know, there are people in the world that they have to be loved in order to reciprocate. They have to be loved. You have to show them that you love them before they'll love you back. And, you know, it's contrary for the Christian. All of Scripture is contrary to that kind of thinking. You remember Jesus suffered and He died. But He did that for His enemies as well as those who believed Him. For His enemies, those who were still against Him, those who were still opposed Him. He didn't require you to love Him first. But there are those in the world that do require that kind of a love. While we were yet enemies, still enemies, Christ, you know, God reconciled the world through the death of His Son so that we might be saved by His life. That's way beyond, well, if you have to love, show me you love me first and then I'll love you. And oftentimes people are very insecure about love. That makes it very difficult for you to love them and for them to reciprocate. You know, it's kind of hard to talk to somebody that's insecure, and so we want to be careful with our words, be careful that we show them our great love for them. Because sometimes personal issues get involved, and sometimes, you know, people are very highly sensitive when they're like that, and they look at love and they're not really sure, and they're very touchy, their willingness to love, but often they turn away from people who truly do love them the most. They're shrouded in inconsistencies and instability. It causes them to just kind of like float away from any kind of rock-solid relationship. And so their instability makes it hard for us to love them the way we should. And we need not to be that kind of person. People who misunderstand love, they take love as being feelings. You know, I feel you. I love you because I can feel it. It makes me so real. You know, people think of the worship service in that way. You know, my neighbor, you know, in Akron, before we moved up here for the work, she told me, you can't possibly love God without an instrument. You can't possibly, because the instrument makes you feel so good. Where were the instruments in the first century? And those people, the apostles, they worshiped God. They loved God. And so her idea is a little bit perverted when it came to love. We need to understand, you know, God's love, the kind of love that we want to reach, is not demonstrated by how I feel. There might be a day when you just don't feel like coming to worship. because the whole week's been really rough on you, but you come here because you love God more than your own life. You love what Jesus did. You love God more. And so sometimes it doesn't feel good, but you still do it. Sometimes when a brother or sister sins, and you have to bring that up to them, and it just doesn't feel good. So many churches just scratch that out of the Scriptures, right? They just take that pen knife and cut that out and throw it into the fire. Because that doesn't feel good. Why would a loving God want us to do that? Why would we practice discipline? And so sometimes people, if it doesn't feel good, they can't accept it in that way. The bottom line is they love this present evil age, as Paul would say in Galatians 1 and 14. And they're not... They don't understand that it was that kind of love that Jesus had to deliver them from their sins. That earthly kind of love is not the kind of love that God teaches Christians to have. And so many people, that you know, they're stuck with these things. The people who love the wisdom of man rather than the wisdom of God. And so, am I a recipient? Of this kind of love? I hope not. Am I able to try to reach people who are struggling with that kind of ideas about love? I sure hope so. Because there's many. And many only show love, you know, love is a two-way street, and that it has to be that way for most people in the world. And some people, you know, those who are loved in return, you know, some may take the initiative, but continue their love only when reciprocate. Only if you know, I will love you, but you know, if you're not doing things for me, if you're not loving me back the way I desire it, then I'm gone. And we'll run into people who are struggling with that. Jesus observed that kind of love, you know, that's the kind of love that you see amongst the sinners. Jesus, you know, he says, if you love only those who love you, what credit is it to you? For even sinners, you know, they love themselves. They love that. So we need to be above that as Christians. We need to be those who can love regardless. Because we realize that the world loves the world. But our love has to be so great that they'll see something through the darkness. They'll see that light, that love of Christ in us. And as we talk about the different kinds of lovers, there's those who love regardless. Now we're getting down to where we want to be. People who take the initiative, people who are persistent in loving someone, even when that person doesn't reciprocate. Even when that person curses them, even when that person pushes away, but you still hang on as long as you possibly can, you're going to go and go and go and show that person love no matter what, so that that person may understand. God demonstrated His own love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. That's the kind of love. All the whole world's yelling, no, God, you know, if we knew that Jesus was coming down at that time, people would have been in the streets shouting, no, go back, we don't need you. And Jesus would come anyway. Jesus was delivered up. Listen to this. He was delivered up because of our offenses. Do you understand that? He was delivered up because of our offenses, because I sin, because they sin, because the world sins. Jesus came and had to be delivered up. He had to be lifted up on that cross and suffer crucifixion for people who did not love Him. But the wonderful part of that, the miracle part of that, is that He was raised up because of our justification. Romans 4:25, He was delivered up because of my sin, and He was raised up for my justification. That's love. Jesus commanded this kind of love, and He commanded that kind of love of all His followers. Luke 6 and verse 35, do good, hoping to receive nothing in return. If we look at that scripture and you just follow along with me, Luke chapter 6 and verse 35, just a wonderful outline of love. Luke chapter 6, verse 35. Let me just read it. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High. For He is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Do good, hoping for nothing. Lend, hoping for nothing in return. Consider the benefit of that kind of love that God is telling you. You will be called the child of the Most High. What a great characteristic, what a great name tag to be wearing in this world. God's calling me the child of the Most High. You know, Jesus didn't command us to do anything He Himself wasn't able to do or wouldn't do. For He is, listen, He is kind. Wow. To the unthankful. He's kind to the evil. That's power in love. That's a wonderful statement, testimony to the love of Jesus. You can curse Him, you can spit upon Him, you can nail Him to a cross, you can deny Him, you can make fun of Him and mock Him in your lifetime, you can say no 1,000 times, for whatever, however many heartbeats you have, you can say no to Jesus and Jesus still loves you. And He died saying, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." You know, the problem is that sometimes you think about the way some people treat their dogs. I've seen people that just would kick and yank at the dog's collar, not feed them properly. And you know those dogs, if you let them go, they would come back to that person. You'd expect they would just bite them and chew them up and spit them out. But more often than not, that dog comes back to that person, licking them, loving them. You know, I'm not saying be like a dog, but in that sense of the characteristic, we need to be able to come back, no matter what anybody, when they kick us and beat us and say all manners of evil against us, we're blessed. Come back and love them. Right? Love your enemies, do good for them, pray for them, go the extra mile for them, so that you can be like your Father who is in heaven. You know, the dog comes back and still loves them. And so you think about that. Think of the example of Christ. Harsh words people spoke. They were mocking Him, laughing at Him, criticizing, made fun of Him, lied about Him. False trials, mocking, hated, beaten, scourged, crucified on a cross, murdered. And He still loved those who did all that to Him. He still loves you. That's powerful. That's powerful. And if we're to be called a child of God, we have to take on that attribute. We want to be the child of God of the Most High. You want to have that name tag, Christian, because that's what that means. We must be a people who love regardless of what others are doing. Regardless of whether they hurt us or not. What others may say to us, how it might, you know, stab us 10,000 times. It might hurt. But we're not to be like them. We're to have that kind of love that Jesus showed us all throughout His ministry, and especially in His trial and crucifixion. You know, it's rare among people, but it is required among the Lord's people, the disciples of Christ, the members of the body of Christ, the church. And that's how you will be known, by your love. And you'll be able to wear that name tag, the child of the Most High. Your Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, is your Lord and your Savior. And that demands that we ask a question. Why would Jesus demand that we love others regardless, even though, you know, those who are our enemies, why would we love them? Love them regardless of how they treat us. Love them regardless of what they say about us. Regardless of their unloving attitude towards us. Why would Jesus say, love them even regardless of how they smell? If you know what I'm saying, I've been in homes where, you know, you gag, but you still go in. You still love them. Why? Because you're a child of God. Why? Because you're imitating Christ. Why? Because that's what God wants the description to be on you. And I hope it does. I really do. If not, let the Spirit of God through this study tonight open up that heart. Open up that ability, that power that God is willing to give you as a spirit to be empowered in tremendous ways to seek and save the lost. Empowered in tremendous ways to let the world see that the Lord's church is a church based upon love. The love of God. And let that spirit of grace transform you. And so now we turn to the scripture and we ask, what is important about proper loving? Well, you know, first of all, it's the greatest commandment. Right? We live by the two greatest commandments of the law. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, your strength, your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Boy, that, it's in a nutshell. Owe no one anything, the scriptures tell us. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Romans chapter 13. You know, you can't love your spouse and commit adultery. You can't certainly love another person and commit murder against them. You can't steal or bear false witness. You can't covet your neighbor. There's all kinds of things that love just does not do. True love mandates that we do no harm. It doesn't mean you don't speak the truth. We're told speak the truth in love because that love is the fulfillment of the law. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Galatians 5 and verse 14. So there's that picture. It should go without saying that we must love the brotherhood. And we must love one another. And we also must love those out there that are in darkness who need desperately to know Christ. Right? We ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. That's what we're told. You all will know that we are His if we just love one another. And it's also true the opposite. People are going to know you're not Christ's if you don't lay down your life for the brother. And they're going to know you're not a Christian if you don't love one another. They're going to know you're not a Christian if your love gets cold against people. And to strive to fulfill the royal law. That's what we need to do. The royal law, as James talked about it, we used that in the lesson, I think, last week. The royal law, according to the scriptures. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so, those are very important, the greatest commandments. And when it comes to obeying God, this kind of love is very important. We realize that, you know, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, we know that we pass from life to death because we love the brethren. Isn't that amazing? When we love one another, and we realize that that's almost like a proof from God, a seal of approval. You love one another. And you know that you've passed from life to death. It's kind of like putting a stethoscope on the heart's beating. He's alive. Right? You stick a pin in your side and you jump. He's alive. When we love the brethren, you're alive in Christ. And that's very serious. And the members, we are to love one another. We're to, you know, not be separated by anything. Strive for the unity of the faith. Somebody says something that's untrue. Somebody says something that hurts your feelings. You know, and you ask yourself this, well, I'm going to make a phone call. I'm going to write them a nasty letter. I'm going to let them have it with both barrels. No. Did Jesus do that when you sinned? Did he let you have it with both barrels? Did he reciprocate in anger? Did he decide that, well, you're not loving me the way you should, so I'm not going to love you? What did he demonstrate? You know, you can sum that up in one word, forgiveness. So what if somebody says something that is based in truth and it hurts your feelings? Well, what did Jesus teach we should do? We curse and yell at that person. I don't care. I may be guilty of that, but listen, I'm never talking to you again. No. Jesus in Luke 13:3 says, repent. You do that because you love God more than sin. You love God more than this world and your desires of the world. You know, all the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. You love God more. And so you repent. You don't hate them. You repent. In fact, you can go back to that person and thank them for pointing out your error. That's the kind of love that passes us from death to life. Spiritual death to spiritual life. Let all bitterness and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, Ephesians 4:31. Just let it happen. Pursue peace with all people in holiness, he says, without which no one will see the Lord. Think of that. We're not going to see the Lord if we don't act in this way. Another mark of that kind of love is that we are born of God. Beloved, right? Let us love one another for the love of God. For everyone who is born of God knows God, and he does not. And he who does not love does not know God. So that's another earmark of a Christian. And still, another evidence, spiritually speaking, is that we are disciples of Christ. Right? Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love also one another. There's nothing that can surpass that. When it comes to the understanding spiritually of what love is, there's nothing to surpass that. You can hate me all your life. You can say no to Jesus all your life, and that doesn't change love. I still love you. Jesus still loves you. You may not be reciprocating, but I still love you. Jesus still loves you. Nothing more powerful than that. Nothing in the world can surpass that kind of love. Nothing holds us together better than that kind of love. That is the glue, right? We all know what glue is. When you build something, especially I do a lot of woodworking, and I put two pieces of wood together with glue, and that glue is representing the love. And if you've ever done any kind of woodworking and you've ever done any kind of joining, you realize that you put that glue in there and you put this piece and that piece together, and once that glue dries, it's stronger than the two pieces. Think about that. Once that glue dries, it's stronger than the two pieces. So you got this person and that person and God's love. You know, we're at each other. God's love brings us together. It dries and we're stronger. That bond is stronger than we are. The kind of love that God demonstrated requires that His children have friendship. They depend upon love. David returns after defeating Goliath. You know, women come out and they shout. You know, they're just praising David, and Saul gets angry. He gets upset. He gets jealous. And after speaking to his father, the scriptures tell us that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, that kind of love that they were just, you can't break that bond. Jonathan loved David as his own soul. That's what the scriptures tell us. And when you read 1 Samuel chapter 18, you know, David returns. The people are singing and dancing. Saul's upset. David has killed his thousands and thousands and his ten thousands, and his feelings are hurt, Saul. So he seeks to kill David. But you realize, you know, as you read through there in verse 9, that, you know, he sought to, after David's life from that day forward, he hated David, he hunted David down. But then you read chapter 24 when David shows that real love. That real love. When he did not take the life of Saul. And he had every ability to do so. But he showed his love first for God. And then for the position, the honor of Saul. And so we think about that. Families depend on love. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, also, you know, you love your husband. Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for me, for the church. And love your wives as your own body, we're told in Ephesians 5 and 28. Wives are to love their husbands and love their children, Titus 2 and 4. We are to love one another as a family, not only as our family, like father, mothers, children, but as a family of God. The same things apply. The churches depend upon that kind of love. Right? If there's any consolation in Christ, any comfort in love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if there is any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy, being like-minded, having the same love in accordance with that love of God, have that same mind of Christ. We have to put on love, wear that kind of love. That's what God's expecting. And that is that perfect bond of perfection. And nothing beats that. And so that's pretty clear, at least in my mind. Becoming better lovers means let God the Father teach you. Just as the Thessalonians were taught when you read that letter, but concerning your brotherly love, that we need not teach you or show you, because you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Let God teach through the Word. Try to take that in and realize just how powerful His love really, really is. Because those in Thessalonica went out into the whole world, and they, all the brethren around, they knew their love, and their love just increased more and more and more. God loved us by giving that which is most precious, and we understand that. He gave us Jesus Christ, His Son, for God so loved the world, right? He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. And we want to be clear about that. If we're mature in the faith, if we're getting any of this concerning love, you know, that's one thing. That love was the love that came down from heaven. In John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The Word became flesh, it tells us, right? By Him were all things made, without Him was not anything made, and then the Word became flesh, in verse 14. That came down from heaven. That was God's gift to us. He came down in the form of man. He came down and gave up all that glory for you and me. And He's teaching us how powerful that love is. We need to come out of our comfortable place and learn to love more deeply, love like God. He came out of a comfortable place to love us. And so we need that. God loves before He's loved. Learn that from God. Right? This is the love of God that was manifested toward us, that God sent His only Son, His only begotten Son, into the world that we might live through Him. That's serious love. That love of God, that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And of course, we already mentioned God demonstrated His love toward us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And when it comes to love, the Lord Jesus, He's the master. He's the one that, a new commandment I give you, we read that you love one another. That certainly demonstrates that full measure of love. You know, greater love has no man than to lay down his life for his brother and for his friends. Jesus did that. Fantastic love. Paul encourages us also and demonstrates, you know, we have to understand and we have to go through and we have to be encouraged by that kind of love. To emulate Christ, to walk in love, right? Be imitators of God, dear children. To walk in love as Christ loved us. And another great teacher, of course, is the Holy Spirit. Paul taught through the Holy Spirit the necessity of love. Let's turn there. I think you can't really talk about love without going to 1 Corinthians 13. And if you're going to come to me after the meeting and tell me, Dave, you said 2 Corinthians 13. I did. And I swallowed that right after I said it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And as you read through this, verses 1 through 3, you know what you're seeing? What you're seeing is the necessity of love. The necessity. Without love, you're nothing. Right? You're just a clanging cymbal, a brass, a cymbal. Without love, there's nothing. And then you look at verses 4 through 8, and you see there that the meaning of love. Right? Love is, it suffers long, it's kind, it does not envy, it does not parade itself, it is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely, it does not seek its own, it is not provoked, it thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And then there's the permanency of love. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but then that when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things, for we know, we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. And I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am also known. There you have that permanency. And then the preeminence of love. And now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And in the next verse, he says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. So we have to let God our Father, Jesus Christ the Lord, the apostles, and the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, teach us, be our instructors on this issue when it comes to love by example and by word. You know, who can deny the importance of that kind of love? Who can do that? It's evidence of spiritual regeneration from death to life, necessary for spiritual happiness. It is a commandment of the Lord. And we need to be sure that that's the kind of love that we have. Not carnal, not self-centered, not self-serving, but it is spiritual. God the Father-centered, Jesus the Master-centered, and the Holy Spirit, the Word-centered. And you know, there's something that we didn't talk about, and I just throw it out right now really quick. There's more than one word in the Bible for love. I think we all know that. There's the word phileo, and that, you know, that represents a very tender, affectionate kind of love, and that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the word agapao, or it's also agape, which according to Vines is, it is the characteristic word in the Bible, in Christianity, that defines our attitude of God. The attitude of God towards man, the attitude of God towards His Son, the attitude of God. It's the biblical word that helps us to understand the depth of God's love through the Holy Scriptures. Only used in the Bible, very scarce out there in secular writing. So, and that kind of love is known from its actions. It demonstrates by Jesus' obedience. It demonstrated through Jesus the giving to others. It demonstrates through Jesus' sacrifice. So that's the agape love, giving, obedience, and sacrifice. And that's where we want to be. So if we say we love Jesus, the best way to do that is simply obey Him. Be imitators of God as dear children, Paul said, Ephesians 5. Be imitators of God. So what did Jesus say? If we love the Father, we're interested. If we love Jesus, we're interested. We want to keep His commandments. Do we really love Jesus? What did Jesus say? If you love me, keep my commandments. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Well, what did He say? As far as our salvation, our soul salvation, do we really love Jesus? Are we really willing to do what He said? If you're here tonight and these things that are coming up on the screen you haven't done, tonight is the night to show your love. Don't tell me that you're a loving person and you're not able to do the things that the loving God has asked you to do. We need to hear John 6:45. We need to accept and believe that Jesus is the Christ, John 8:24. Luke 13:3, we need to repent of our sins. Matthew 10:32. We need to confess Jesus before men in this very moment of time. And we need to believe and be baptized for the remission of our sins. To be saved. To be added to the church. And then we need to live faithful lives in Christ. So I asked a moment ago, do you love the Father? Do you really love Jesus? If you do, these are the things you have already done. And if you say you do and you haven't done these things, these are things you need to do. Tonight, why don't you let the goodness of God, as Paul said, lead you to repentance in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Let the goodness of God lead you to repentance. If you open your hymnals, we have a song of invitation, as I mentioned this morning. The song of invitation is simply a song inviting you to come forward and obey the gospel. Inviting you to come forward and repent of sin. It's a time when we are opening this front pew up for anyone who has a need. And the song of invitation, 287, just the title, I heard the voice of Jesus. Well, tonight you heard the voice of Jesus. It's not that my words said anything, but the words that we read, the words that we studied, that's the voice of Jesus. And the voice of Jesus says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. If you're a little bit confused, if you're a little bit undecided, come to Jesus tonight. He'll help you to be decided. He'll help you to get out of any kind of confusion that you're in. But you have to come. You lay down all your weariness, all your sins before the cross. Be baptized. Jesus will wipe away those sins and you will be made a new creation. You'll walk in a newness of life and you'll be part of the Lord's church here upon the earth. And you will learn more and more daily about how much God really does love you. If you have a need tonight, please come forward now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.